Well, I want you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. We're looking at the Beatitudes. Now, on Father's Day, I was able to share a message from the Beatitudes, and it was pretty cool. And so I wanted to look at another Beatitude. And, you know, just to let you in kind of on the office of pastor. So Pastor Anna and I, we plan out messages as best we can. We pray and seek the Lord for the direction of the church, and that applies to the messages. We want to know what God wants to speak to the church. So that's why it's so important for you not to miss Sunday mornings, because the message that is preached is from God, and we feel led in those directions. So at the very least, you know, you can watch the rebroadcast on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. or go online, algonafaith.org, and check that out anyway. So we were talking about the Beatitudes, and that one was so, I loved that so much, that I felt like that was so key and foundational, and we applied hungering and thirsting after righteousness to fathers. It's so important. Dads, men of God, you need to lead your families in hungering and thirsting after righteousness. So, I'm not going to be able to develop like all of the Beatitudes, so one more that we wanted to hit before we launched into the rest of the summer, we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer. So I hope that you can get excited about that. You know, we're going to dust off the Lord's Prayer, you know, and see what Jesus taught us about praying. You know, if Jesus taught us about praying, then we should be kind of praying along those lines, you think, you know? And it's just like this, you know, it's so important. Jesus' words, you know, go to your Bible, look up the words that are in red, and if you study anything in the Bible, make sure it's those, okay? That's so important. And so the one I wanted to look at was, where are we at? Blessed are the peacemakers. And I thought, you know, this would be kind of neat with our patriotic service and thinking about, you know, having a country of peace and those that have fought for our freedom and peacemakers. But there's a difference between peacemakers and peacekeepers. And so the theme just kind of lended itself back to family. God must be just working in my heart about families. Families are so important. And so we want to be a church that loves families, wants to invest in families as well. So we're going to be talking kind of in those terms as well. So in thinking about peace, would you say that your home is characterized by peace? Do you have a peaceful home, or is it more conflict? Is there strife? Is there arguments, maybe even anger, you know, that comes out? A lot of homes are characterized by the latter, by the strife, the tension even. You know, if you got two people in a room, there can be tension, you know. So it's easy to slip into dysfunctional cycles like with our families. I want to tell you, my mom and dad had two sons. So my brother and I, we were 3 years apart. And so if you know brothers that are closer in age like that, there's going to be some strife. Well, it wasn't always, you know, bad or angry or getting in fights. It would oftentimes start out playing. Then we'd be wrestling around, you know, we'd be giggling and having fun and stuff. But then at some critical point, one of us would get hurt, you know, and like just blame each other. Matt, you hurt me. Or Matt would say, Rob, you hurt me, you know, but we'd get over it. And then we'd do it all over again, right? We'd just be playing again, and we'd be punching each other, and then we'd punch a little hard. Oh, and then it gets out of hand. Because we get into these cycles, we just do it over and over. And maybe you've seen it at your family get-togethers as well. Maybe not just your nuclear family, but maybe your extended family. Thanksgiving comes around, you know, and every family's got somebody that's a little different, right? Every family's got that, you know? And if you don't think so, you might be that person. So just a word to the wise, and I'll move on. But there's lots of sources for conflict, right? I mean, there's so many. You know, maybe you're a parent and your mom or your dad is telling you how to parent your kids. That can cause conflict. Maybe your kids are always fighting. Maybe it doesn't always start playing. Maybe they're just at each other's throats all the time. Maybe you've blended a family. You know, you've got his kids, her kids, and your kids, and just all kinds of kids, and there can be conflict there. Maybe teenagers, you know, can feel like, man, there's so much conflict. My parents are always on me. As soon as I graduate, I'm out of here, you know? That can cause conflict. maybe you're an adult and you have had an issue in your past, and we're going to address this a little bit more, and you're finding it hard to forgive your mom or your dad or somebody that's hurt you deeply. Conflict, whenever you think about that person and that something is still there. There's lots of sources of conflict. So the key verse is Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So there's two words for peace that I want to bring to your attention. First, in Hebrew, and we all probably know this, shalom. Right? It's a traditional Hebrew greeting. They say that to one another, but it's more than just peace. They're not just saying, peace, brother. You know, they just don't say shalom, peace. But it means I'm asking God for the highest good. I'm asking, I want the highest good for you. Not just peace, no conflict be to you, but it's highest good be to you. And so the Greek is arene. And that's also the same feeling, the same connotation, that it's prosperity, it's highest good to you. I wish well for you, not just that bad things wouldn't happen, not just an absence of trouble. And that's really kind of a shocking statement, that if we were to put ourselves in the first century here, in the audience that Jesus is speaking to in the Sermon on the Mount here, Matthew chapter 5, because they had been brought up, yes, with shalom, peace be to you, but also an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, you know, this for that, a retaliation, that there's justice, and you give them this if they've given you that. And so Jesus is saying, no, blessed are the peacemakers, they will be called children of God. So let's look more about what this peacemaker is. There's a difference between peacemakers and peacekeepers, okay? There's a big difference between peacemakers and peacekeepers. Peacekeepers, they often try to avoid conflict. They want to keep the peace. They want to just avoid the conflict. They want to get along. They want to call a truce. They just want, it's maybe the middle child, right? How many middle children are here? Yeah, you just kind of have this feeling, this drive of, can't we all just get along? Or just, you know, maybe being a mediator. But that's a peace keeper, okay? A peacemaker doesn't avoid conflict, but actually embraces conflict, okay? Peacekeepers don't want to just ignore it, sweep it under the rug, say, pretend that it's not there, you know, just put on a happy face, you know? Like, we want, as peacekeeper or peacemakers, to engage. We want to work through conflict as peacemakers, to go through it, not to go around it. You know, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the one that brings the peace. So if we want to have peace, if we want to be a peace maker, not just keeping the peace, but we want to establish peace and lead in peace, we need to have the Prince of Peace in our lives, amen? We need to have his leading, and we need to have him showing us peace on the inside. And this kind of goes back to a statement that I made back on Father's Day that I just really loved. And I think Craig Groeschel says it. He's a pastor, and he says, we're not just a Christian family, but we are a Christ-centered home. I love that because, you know, anybody can call themselves a Christian. You know, we are a Christian nation by label, right? I don't know. There's such a high percentage of people in America that say they're Christian, but they don't really even know what that means, or they may not even follow Christ. And that's what it means to be a Christian, right? To follow Christ. A lot of people, I think, just kind of get it in their mind, well, I'm not, you know, anything else. I'm not another religion, so I must be Christian. And they can actually do more harm for the term Christian than good, because they don't know what it means to really follow Christ. So we want to be more than just a Christian family by name only, or just by attending church, or having our kids go to kids' church or youth group. We want to be a Christ-centered home. You know, normal isn't enough. Just to be a normal Christian, and by everyday terms, American terms, that's not cutting it, is it? No. We need to go back to what it really means to follow Christ, to be a disciple of Christ, to submit ourselves to Christ, not just react how we want to or to do the things that we want to. We need to give up some of our rights and follow Christ, who gave up all of his rights for us. We need to do what Jesus did to be a Christ-centered home. So, you know, you've heard the phrase before, and maybe it's a mantra of yours. You know, if you want something different in your life, you have to do something different in your life, or something along those lines, right? If you want different results, you got to do something different. So if you're not happy with your family life, do something different. If there's false peace in your life, focus on the Prince of Peace and be a peacemaker. All right, so Paul said this in comparison. This is Romans chapter 12. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. And then dropping down to verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So what do peacemakers do? We want to be peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Let's look at what peacemakers do. Number one, if you're writing things down, write this down. Tell the truth in love. Tell the truth in love, okay? Remember, we're not skirting the issue. We're not sweeping it away and ignoring things. We're going to confront this head on and communicate in love. Ephesians 4:15 says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. So what does that look like? Tell the truth in love, not yell the truth in love, okay? I can tell you that some of my sermons, I am working on, right? I am living it out as well. So I need to work on this as well. Don't yell the truth in love. You might be right, but how you say things might be wrong, okay? So don't yell the truth and tell the truth in love, okay? So work on important issues. Work on important issues in communicating. So here's some tips for you in confronting and speaking the truth in love. Don't communicate. Don't try to bring up something during conflict times, right? When the person you're trying to talk to correct or speak the truth in love, when they're hot and bothered and they're just, you know, blowing their top anyway, don't say, and by the way, you need to do, that's not a good time. So timing is everything. This is actually something we've kind of talked to our kids about, you know, they're like, you want to ask for something? Figure out the right time, right? And usually kids are pretty good about knowing that. So don't confront during high conflict times. Look for those non-conflict times, okay? And sometimes that's hard to find because depending on the person you're dealing with, they just might be blowing their top all the time, or it might be hard to find a time to confront or to speak the truth in love. Second thing here, confront the issue and not the person, okay? Confront the issue that you're dealing with or you're struggling with, not the person themselves. We're not attacking people. We're attacking behavior. We're trying to correct behavior, right? If you love this person enough, just to want them to change, okay? So a good example, so I've said I'm working on some of my sermons, and some sermons Pastor Anna lives out. So she's really good about this. So she lives this out really well, is that if we've had a conflict or something, she follows these things, she waits to the right time, and then she talks about maybe the issue that I'd brought up or my behavior, and so not talking about the person, and she doesn't make it personal. She says things more about her, you know, like I feel this way when you do this, or I see others react this way, or whatever, you know. So it's not about making it personal. You know, I know that she loves me enough to say something when she confronts me in love, when she's trying to make peace with me, when she's trying to help me be a better person. So we need to do that with others as well, that we need to look for the right timing, we need to confront the issue, not the person, and love someone enough to have that conversation. I know a lot of times it would be easier, and you might think, well, it's the most peaceful way if I just let it go and not talk about it. But we need to love each other enough to say, you know, your behavior was wrong or it hurt me, so I'm gonna tell you how I feel or how it impacted me. And it will make restoration and it will make peace. All right, blessed are the peacemakers. So here's a couple more examples of how to communicate, some things that you could say, some things that she has said to me. When you don't listen to me, I don't feel like you value me, right? So maybe you've got that person in your life that when you're talking to them, they're looking off somewhere else, you know. Just communicate that. When you don't listen to me, this is how I feel. When you raise your voice, I don't feel safe. You may not even notice with our friends that you make fun of me. You know, you don't even realize that you're doing this. Give the other person the benefit of the doubt, you know, in speaking the truth in love. When you come and constantly check your phone when we're having dinner, that makes all of us feel devalued. So I think that's a growing issue, actually, if I may just rabbit trail a little bit. Keep your phones off the table, in your pocket, maybe on the counter when you're having meals together, because you need to be together as a family. I love you enough to say that, okay, right? So this is kind of practicing what I preach. And then here's just another thought. When you lie about insignificant little things, it's really hard to trust you on other issues. You know, so that's a way that you can speak the truth in love. All right, so number two, apologize when you're wrong. This is how we're being peacemakers. Tell the truth in love, but then apologize when you are wrong, okay? James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other. And I think we forget this next part, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confess your sins to one another. Confession is good for the soul, especially when you're wrong. So imagine, what would our relationships be like if we confessed to one another and then we followed through and prayed for one another? I believe there would be healing, there'd be restoration, there'd be a deeper connection if we really lived this out, if we did this. So have the guts to, when you're wrong, maybe someone is communicating in love to you and they're confronting you about lying, and so you say, okay, I apologize, I was wrong. Let's pray together about that. That would be so different, right? That would be life-changing, and that would be such a radical difference than the way the rest of the world works. And I think we're called to be different, right? Amen. So apologize when you're wrong. Admit to specific actions and attitudes with no excuses. Okay, so admit to specific attitudes, specific actions, keyword specific, right? Don't just leave it vague, okay? And don't make excuses for it, right? So say, okay, I shouldn't have raised my voice. Don't just make a blanket statement of, oh, I shouldn't have lost my cool or lost my temper. I shouldn't have raised my voice. I shouldn't have called you a name or done whatever damage you did. I should have called to let you know that I was gonna be late, or that I had changed plans. I'm sorry that you felt out of the loop. I should have called. Specific. I shouldn't have kicked your dog, okay? I just wanted to see how far he would go, all right? Be specific when you're apologizing, all right? There's a big difference between apologizing and, well, let me say it this way. There's a big difference between remorse and repentance. When you say, I'm sorry, you're remorseful, okay? And maybe you've understood this, maybe you've heard this before, that like when you say, I'm sorry, it's like saying, oh, I got caught, I feel bad, and I want the bad feeling to stop, right? Like, I'm sorry that I did this wrong. I'm sorry I raised my voice. And you leave it at that, that's only half of it. But when you say, I'm sorry I raised my voice, I lost my cool, I shouldn't have yelled at you, will you forgive me? Asking forgiveness and then turning and not doing that thing that you're sorry for, that's repentance. When we turn and correct the behavior. Because that's what we did, right? When we received Christ. When we knelt at the foot of the cross, we said, Jesus, I repent. I'm giving up this life of sin, all these things that were displeasing to you. I'm not going to do them anymore because you're forgiving me for them. So we turn from the cross and we turn from those bad things that we did, not to return to those things again. So even as Christians, as saved folks, we still need to repent because we're not perfect. We're working on it, and Jesus is helping us. The Holy Spirit's empowering us to live better. But when we're wrong, we need to apologize. Be specific with no excuses. You know, don't say, well, I'm sorry for this this thing that I did, but if you wouldn't have done this or that, then I wouldn't have, you know. No, no excuses. Well, I felt like I had to do this because of this. No, just apologize and repent. Be remorseful, but be repentant as well. Here's something else, too, that I thought was interesting, is that saying sorry, that's for mistakes. You know, like if I miscalculated something, I'm sorry for that. Or if I misspoke, oh, I didn't realize that, you know, this was wrong that I told you. I'm sorry. That's a mistake. But saying I repent or asking for forgiveness, that's for sin, right? It's a higher cost. You know, when we've wronged another brother or a sister, when we've wronged God, we need to repent. We're not just saying, oh, sorry, I didn't realize, you know. We need to turn from those ways and repent. Again, we're not just a Christian family. We're a Christ-centered home. Not just Christian in label, but we're living out what Jesus taught us and what the Bible is teaching us. Again, to have those different results, you have to have different methods. So what have we said so far? Tell the truth in love, apologize when you're wrong, and number three, peacemakers forgive and let go. Forgive and let go. There's a significant pain that's represented here when we say that there's been betrayal. Maybe that's happened to you, that maybe a spouse has committed adultery, maybe somebody has abused you in your past, and that's been a long time, but every time you think about that person, then something is inside of you that is either fight or flight, you know, that wants to fight that person or just is like, get me away, I don't like, or maybe you're just dead to it. Maybe some significant hurt in the past, you think of it, or somebody mentions that person's name and you're like, whatever. That's not good either. That's not healthy. We need to forgive. And I know that as I'm talking about this big issue now of some significant hurt from a past, I don't know who it applies to. I know that there can be multiple people here with issues like that. So I'm not trying to read your mail. If the Holy Spirit's convicting you, then follow that. But you might be asking, okay, well, how do I forgive? If you're at a point that you're willing to entertain that question, I want you to know that you can. That you can forgive, that God will give you the power to forgive. If you're not at that point, I do want to pray for you that you will get to that point of not having so much hurt and bitterness that you will be able to one day ask the question, okay, how can I forgive? Because the healing comes when you forgive. That hurt will go away by the power of Jesus when you forgive. How do I know that? Because of what Scripture says. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. So the Lord's telling us to forgive, but he's saying we can because he has already forgiven us. We've received his forgiveness. We know what that feels like, right? To be forgiven. So we need, and to be set free, to have that freedom after we've been forgiven. And we need to be like God and forgive other people to set them free, to not hold on to that hurt anymore. It may take work, it may take time, several times of you saying, I forgive this person, I forgive this person, maybe through several times. But the question I want to ask you is, has the Lord forgiven you of lots of sins? Of any sin? Of course he has. Yeah. He's forgiven you so graciously. And some of the things, like I said even earlier, you know, some of you guys I know that have come to Christ as an adult, and you are like very anti-God. And he still loved you anyway. And he forgave you despite what you said. He forgave you. He's forgiven you freely. He's forgiven each one of us. And that's how we are called to forgive as well, to forgive freely. So when you forgive, whether it's little things or big, deep, significant things like this, the deepest of hurts, you are being like Christ. When you forgive someone else, you are being more like Jesus than at any other time in your life. I mean, love is huge, right? That we should love everybody like Jesus loves, but that's how Jesus showed love. That's the vehicle of love, is to forgive. Forgive, just as Christ has forgiven you. Forgive one another. And in this context of family, I want to tell you, I think we realize that for some reason, within our own family, that's where a lot of our hurts come from, to various degrees. You know, those deep, significant hurts, because we don't expect to be hurt or abused by parents or uncles or whoever, or even just, I just didn't get along with my sibling and there's just always conflict or strife, or this person just rubs me the wrong way. We get a lot of hurts from our family. But I want to tell you, don't give up on your family. Whatever stage you're at, you might be a dad, granddad, a kid, a young adult, don't give up on your family. Family is always worth it. Whenever you're tempted to leave, don't. Whenever you're tempted to cash in the chips and say, nope, this hurt is too great, don't give up. Forgive, just as Christ forgave you. Show mercy. Show grace, forgiveness. And you know, that goes beyond the blood family that we have. We are a family here in these walls. We're a Christian family. We're brothers and sisters. And still, there are hurts that we can inflict on each other. So we need to forgive. We need to be peacemakers, even in this family, in this context. Love one another enough to speak the truth in love, to not hold it against the person, sweep it away, have false peace, but to say, hey, you know, when you said this, when you did this, it hurt me, and I don't want to have anything against you. Let's work on this relationship and pray with one another. I think that could really change our church. And I don't know of anything, I'm not speaking to anything that's happened, so if there's anything here, would you just faithfully follow through on that? Ask for forgiveness if you know you've done wrong. Would you apologize and change your behavior? Or if someone's hurt you, would you love them enough to, and use wisdom, pray about it. You know, you don't want to stir up an old wound that the other person doesn't even know they hurt you. That might do some more harm than good. But if it comes up and if the Holy Spirit's working on your heart, would you follow through on that? Because I believe that can bring a lot of healing. Jesus healed in the past. He's healing yet today. He heals. We're Christians. We need to act like it. We act like Jesus when we do what Jesus did, when we forgive and love, and when we make peace with one another. And as brothers and sisters, we're related now sideways, but we're brothers and sisters because we have one Father. God is our Father, and we need to look like Him. Just like my kids look like me and Anna, they're just this awesome combination of both of us. Your kids look like you. God's kids need to look like Him. And you never look more like God than when you forgive one another, when we act in love and forgiveness. Go back to this key verse, Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, okay? We're talking about peacemakers, and we want to be blessed. So we're blessed if we're peacemakers. And catch this just for the final point. It was here all along, but maybe you missed it too. For they will be called children of God. You know, it's one thing to say, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God, you know, and we can have this heyday here of, yeah, we're children of God, you know. But then when we walk out of this place and nobody else recognizes that we're children of God, there's a problem. What this is saying is that if we are peacemakers, other people will call us children of God. They will know us by the peace that we have, by the forgiveness that we offer and by the love that we express to one another. That's good preaching there. Take that home with you. God, thank you so much that you give us peace. Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace and you reside in us. You offer us peace, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins. You offer us a changed life, a way to be different, God. So I pray right now for every person in this sanctuary or listening to the audio on this, God, that you would change these lives, that we would operate in a different way, that we would go out from this place different than the way that we came in, that upon hearing your word preached, God, that we would go and be peacemakers. And God, I do know that there are hurts here, that there are some big issues here that need to get healed. So Jesus, you're the great physician. You're the great healer. Would you heal? Would you continue to speak? Holy Spirit, empower us to do this work, this faithful work of offering forgiveness to someone, of offering forgiveness because of this hurt, Lord. Work in us, Lord, that we would forgive freely, and that love would be that motivation. Work in us on the other end too. May we not be just walking on other people. May we not just be brash and brazen, but may we be peaceful people. And if we do mess up, let us ask for forgiveness. Let us be humble enough to say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, and I'm gonna turn and correct this behavior, God. Empower us by your Spirit to do this, Lord. Fill each one with your Spirit, God. As we go from this place, let other people see our love for one another and our forgiveness for one another and the peace that we walk in, God. Let us be called children of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.